Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Let's make some music. Would you stand and sing with us, please?
One, two, three, four, and...
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. My heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. You are the
Thank you, praise team, for bringing us into worship today. Hi, my name is Cheryl Broom, and I am the senior pastor here at Helotes Hills United Methodist Church. So glad you're in worship this morning. I just want to get something out of the way. First off, in case you're wondering what's going on, former pastor Melanie Miner and her husband John are here. Wave. I'm so delighted to see you, and it's like the elephant in the room. You're like, Melanie's here. Is that Melanie? Yeah, that's Melanie. It is. We're so glad you're in worship today. So there are a few things that are a little different. The Connect card you have in front of you is for you to give us an update of your information. It's got some barcodes here, some QR codes if you want to give, and Jenny just told me you can use the barcode to give for the altar rail offering to Lydia Patterson, which is today's altar rail offering. Also, you have this piece of paper, which tells you everything. Okay, a few things. One or two things that are going on in the life of the church. So take this with you when you go home today, put it on your fridge, and take a look to see what's going on. That's all I've got for you. No, you can't go home yet, Sean. But we are ready to start worship.
Good morning. My name is Lori Gansey. It's a blessing and good to be in worship with you this morning, the third Sunday in Lent. We light candles as we begin worship to symbolize Christ's presence with us. Will you stand in body or in spirit as we welcome the light of Christ? Our scripture reading this morning is a prayer of confession. We're going to read together. So I'm going to give you a minute if you want to get to Psalm 51, 1 through 13. It's in the Pew Bible on page 509. Join me in this, our prayer of repentance, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone to Bathsheba. And have mercy on me, God, in accord with your merciful love, in your abundant compassion, blot out my transgressions. Thoroughly wash away my guilt and from my sin cleanse me. For I know my transgressions, my sin is always before me. Against you, you alone, I have sinned. I have done what is evil in your eyes, so that you are just in your word and without reproach in your judgment. Behold, I was born in guilt. In sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire true sincerity, and secretly you teach me wisdom. Cleanse me with hyssop, that I may be pure. Wash me, and I will whip whiter than snow. You will let me hear gladness and joy. The bones you have crushed will rejoice. Turn away your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. A clean heart create for me. God, renew me with my steadfast spirit. Do not drive me from before your face, nor take me from your Holy Spirit. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
Before I invite the kiddos out to Spark Worship, I would like to let parents know that there is a worship and our mission and outreach committee meeting happening in our classroom immediately after worship. So if you do not want your children assigned roles on the committee, please come and pick them up. We are starting at 11:30. With that, we'll invite the kids out to Spark Worship. We're going to learn about the transfiguration of Jesus, and then we'll be back over for communion later on.
Thank you, Jesse. During our prayer time together, we're going to lift pastoral prayers for the community, and often I'll ask you as we pause to say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we gather here on this third Sunday of Lent, we come before you with hearts open to your word and your will. We acknowledge the busyness of our lives, the anxieties that cloud our minds, and the temptations that pull us away from your path. Grant us, O Lord, the strength to persevere this holy season. Help us to focus on your teachings, to find nourishment in your love, and to embrace the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for clarity to see our shortcomings. We pray for the courage to confront them. Cleanse us from sin. Guide us towards repentance and renew our faith in your everlasting mercy. Lord,
hear our prayers.
We lift up to you those who struggle, the sick, the lonely, the burdened. Grant them comfort, hope, and knowledge of your abiding presence. Lord,
hear our prayers.
Bless our leaders with wisdom and compassion. Guide them in making decisions that serve the greater good and promote peace in our world. Lord,
hear our prayers.
We remember with love all those who have departed from this life. Hold them in your embrace and grant solace to those who grieve. Lord,
hear our prayers.
May your light shine upon us this day and every day. May we go forth from this place strengthened in your love, prepared to serve you and share your message of hope with the world. Lord,
hear our prayers.
For it is in the holy name of Jesus Christ that we pray together. And let all who agree say, Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I wonder if you have ever had a really horrible, terrible, really bad day. Have you ever acted out when you had a really horrible, terrible, really bad day? You know, maybe you found some injustice somewhere and you started stomping your feet and you shake your fist, maybe even threw things around. Today, we find Jesus in such a place as he enters the Gentiles' gate in the temple in the heart of Jerusalem. Let's take a look at our Bible story and listen and consider what really happened that day. I will be reading from the Passion Translation. It's a little bit different than what you're going to read if you have your Pew Bible. It's the New Revised Standard. The page number is there, 967. We're going to read from John chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. Listen now for a word from God. When the time was close for the Jewish Passover to begin, Jesus walked to Jerusalem. As he went into the temple courtyard, he noticed that it was filled with merchants selling oxen, lambs, and doves for exorbitant prices, while others were overcharging as they exchanged currency behind their counters. So Jesus found some cords, and he made them into a whip. And then he drove out every one of them and their animals from the courtyard of the temple. He kicked over their tables, some filled with money, scattering it everywhere. And he told the merchants, "Get these things out of here. Don't you dare commercialize my Father's house." That's when the disciples remembered the scripture, "I am consumed with a fiery passion to keep your house pure." Then the Jewish religious leaders challenged Jesus. "What authority do you have to do this sort of thing? And what supernatural sign will you show us to prove it?" Jesus answered, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." Then the Jewish leader sneered at Jesus' answer. "The temple took 46 years to build, and you mean to tell me that you will raise it in 3 days? But they failed to understand that Jesus was speaking of the temple, which was his body. The disciples remembered this prophecy after Jesus rose from the dead and believed both the scripture and what Jesus had said. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So what do you think? Was Jesus simply having a really horrible, terrible, really bad day? No, I don't think so either. His expression of anger meant that what was happening at the temple mattered to Jesus. Now, at this time of the reading, Jesus had just started his ministry in the world. He was tending to the sick, supporting the poor, performing miracles. But we cannot separate his work in the world from the work that is being done in worship. There are two times in Scripture that this story, two times he did this, where he cleansed the temple. One is this story in John that we read this morning, and then later, right before Passover, his final Passover, he turned those tables again. Having just traveled from Capernaum to Jerusalem, Jesus went right to the temple. It was close to Passover, so the city was filled with people, the crowds everywhere, and business was brisk in the temple market. Think of it, the smell of commerce, sweat, blood of the sacrificed animals, roasted meat. And what he found at the Gentiles' temple court were the money changers and the animals. Now, the money changers were there because every Jew had to pay temple tax. All the religious leaders required it, but they couldn't take Roman money because Roman currency was considered unclean. And so the money changers set up their booths to exchange Roman money for the currency of the Israelites. They also had a captive audience because people came and they had to pay this tax. And so there were also animals there for sale, lots and lots of animals because of the sacrificial ritual sacrifices that were in order at the time. And merchants were selling these animals. What you may not know is that sometimes worshipers would come from all over the countryside and they might bring their own animals for sacrifice, but the temple priests had to approve them. They had to be without blemish, perfect animals for sacrifice. And so many times they didn't pass the muster. Some would say they were in league with the animal sellers and would get a kickback. This is what Jesus came into that day. It was expensive to worship God in Jerusalem at Passover. And it was certainly not a place where the poor or those without any resources could worship God. This is the scene that Jesus came into at the temple court of the Gentiles. That's what it was called, also called the court of the nations. Now, the Gentiles' court was the outermost courtyard in the second temple complex. And King Herod had been working on that restoration of the temple for 46 years. They weren't even done yet, okay? They were still working on the temple. Kind of sounds like church, doesn't it? Still working on it. Now, this court was unique because it was the only area accessible to non-Jews, also known as Gentiles or foreigners, or those who were considered impure. Unlike the inner courts of the temple, which were separated by barriers, and they were restricted only to Jewish people. And there were certain levels of purity, ritual purity, that they had to follow. But the court of the Gentiles was open to everyone. It served as a space for non-Jews to learn about Judaism. It served as a space to pray to God and potentially even convert your faith. And while not technically considered part of the sacred space, strictly dedicated to Jewish worship, it held a role of religious importance in landscape in the Jewish city of Jerusalem. Now, Jewish law requires and dictates strict separation between Jews and non-Jews in certain areas, including the temple. And so reportedly, there were signs up everywhere that said, "Jews only." And you would risk death if you entered the courts and you were not Jewish. This day, Jesus entered into the court of the Gentiles, and he literally went to town. He fashioned a whip made of ropes and cords, and he got busy. He got busy driving these people out because of his deep love. His deep respect for the temple as a place of prayer. He clearly had a problem what was going on there in the temple, with people being gouged, with people being turned away. He saw how the temple authorities inflated the prices and exploited people, especially the poor who had traveled a long, long ways to pay their temple tax and to make a sacrifice to God. Now, lest we miss the point here, take a breath. Jesus knew that God could be worshiped anywhere. You did not have to go to the temple. Jesus knew that God could be worshiped anywhere in spirit and in truth. But he was furious with the way the religious leaders ran the temple and took advantage of people. The money changers, the animal merchants were using a holy place for their own profit while hindering the ability of people, particularly Gentiles, to connect with God. Jesus knew that this was not authentic worship of God. He also knew the system created a barrier between people and God. And on that day, Jesus went about dismantling those barriers and exposing the hypocrisy, exposing them as false. So, the temple authorities, the priests, the Sadducees and Pharisees, they knew that this sacrificial system depended on the marketplace to supply both the animals suitable for sacrifice, cattle, sheep, and doves, and the special coins permitted and suitable for them to give. To do away with this market, then, was a strike at the heart of this sacrificial system in itself. Now, later the disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." You can find that in Psalm chapter 69, verse 9. And even now we hear whispers in the background of the prophecy from the prophet Zechariah, who spoke of an age to come when holiness associated with the temple would cover the whole world. Zechariah said, "There shall no longer be traitors in the house of the Lord." Now, Jesus knew that this sacrificial system must end. Jesus knew that there was no need now for animal sacrifice and blood and money changers. In fact, this system now only stood as an impediment to the new day. Just as Zechariah had visioned in his prophecy, the traitors would be driven out. Jesus fulfilled that prophecy when he fashioned that whip and cords, and he let thousands of doves loose in the air, and animals scatter everywhere, and money all over the place. For the hour had come. With his actions, Jesus driving out the traitors in the temple, he declared that the long-awaited time had come. When the religious leaders and the temple priests and Pharisees saw what he did, now they were furious. How dare he disrupt temple business? And the Jewish leaders then challenged Jesus when they said, "By what authority do you do this thing? And what supernatural sign will you show us to prove it?" Jesus answered, "Destroy this temple in 3 days, and I will raise it up again." Well, the Jewish leaders sneered at what Jesus said. "This temple took 46 years to build. You mean to tell us that you will raise it up in 3 days? Well, we know something that they didn't know. We know that Jesus had come to make this temple his own body when he said, "I will raise this temple in 3 days." Fun fact, how many chromosomes are in every human cell in our body? 46. We who celebrate Easter know that Jesus' actions meant that the time had come when the sacrifice, the perfect lamb, would be found in Jesus, and that he would take away the sins of the world. Jesus would sacrifice his life and end the animal sacrifices and end the financial tyranny of the religion. And ultimately, Jesus' death and resurrection did, in fact, dismantle the need for temple sacrifice. Resurrection power would be the sign of supreme authority. The God who was once worshipped by animal sacrifice would now be worshipped in spirit and in truth, and every believer a priest. Yeah, if you've been to a Walk to Emmaus, if you see somebody wearing these funny things, there's actually a talk called "The Priesthood of All Believers." Jesus made us priests through his sacrifice. In other words, Jesus' arrival signaled the dawn of a new age, an age of intimacy between God and God's people. And this conception of the temple was not a building any longer, but a person in spirit and in truth. Jesus, God's flesh, made real for us. Now, Jesus made this abruptive change to worship that day, and it even informs how we worship today. No longer bloody sacrifices made to God. Instead, we are free to worship God in spirit and in truth. And for us, Jesus is our sign, because he became the Passover lamb. He became the perfect sacrifice, non-blemished, that God might take away the sins of the world. Jesus cleansed the temple of false worship. We too must cleanse our own temple, driving out anything that we would sacrifice on God's altar. How then are we to cleanse this temple, our body? Well, the Bible teaches us that our body is the temple of God, and that every one of us is believers. Worship in spirit and in truth. And the Holy Spirit actually resides in us, in the heart of every single believer. You're a temple. You're a temple. You're a temple. You're a temple. You look at your neighbor sitting next to you. You represent God. You are a temple of God and have the Holy Spirit within you. And that is powerful. But sometimes we got to clean up our own temple, much like Jesus did. We need to cleanse the temple by removing sins. You know, sins are those terrible things that are an obstacle between us and God. Whatever we place in the way of our worship for God is a sin. We got to cleanse our temple, get rid of those obstacles, get rid of any negative influences that hinder our spiritual growth. We got to clean up our act. We got to clean up our temple. We need to take seriously this act of confession. When Lori and you read together those words from Psalm 51, those are powerful words that you claimed, where we confessed before God. That's part of cleaning up your temple, this act of confession. Another act of confession is found in the Lord's Prayer. We say it every single Sunday. I'm so proud of you that you have it memorized, because there are kids out there at schools, any adults that don't know the Lord's Prayer. But sometimes we forget what it says. Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive the trespasses of others. We say it every single week, but do we do it? If you want to have a cleaned up temple, you need to get rid of all that stuff. You need to forgive others as you have been forgiven. And brothers and sisters, God has forgiven you a multitude of sins. Not a thing that you have done or said that is ever going to keep you from being forgiven. But you got to seek forgiveness and grant forgiveness, just as the Lord forgave us. We clean our spiritual temple by letting go of worldly pursuits that pull us away from God. We do that by prioritizing prayer time. We do that through studying Scripture. We do that through loving and serving other people. Anything that would pull you away from God. Realigning our life with God is how we cleanse this temple, because we want to be more and more Christ-like, right? In our thoughts and in our actions, in our words, by seeking God's guidance and allowing God constantly to transform us. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in you. One time, this lady who really didn't like me much, she came up to me, she said, "The Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you." And I thought to myself, "But you don't like me much." I'm glad the Jesus in you loves the Jesus in me. So at least she could tolerate me. But you see, we're called to love each other despite our foibles. Today, we're going to receive Holy Communion together, which is the very epitome of the sacrifice in which God made for us. We don't take that lightly. We start like we did today earlier with confession, to clean the slate. Scripture also says if you hold something against somebody or they hold something against you, clear it up before you even come to the temple, before you come to this table. So forgive them. Whatever it is, move on. When we come to this table today, we want to be able to commit or recommit our lives to Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask you for just a few moments to think and pray. And then I'm going to pray this prayer and ask you to join me in praying it. I want you to say the words either aloud or in the secret of your own heart if you so wish to commit or recommit your life to Jesus Christ. There is no time like the present to clean your temple. Turn over those tables. Kick out those animals. They're smelly anyway. And present before God a clean heart. So let us pray. Dear God, that's your part next. Dear God, we come before you today, grateful for your love and your sacrifice made for each one of us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray today, either accepting you as our Lord and Savior for the first time, or renewing our vow to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, saved by grace. I declare my faith in you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I choose to follow you and live according to your teachings. I surrender my life to you. And ask you to be the center of it. Give me the strength to live a life that's pleasing to you. Help me to grow in my faith and knowledge of your word. Guide me in your ways. Give me the wisdom to make decisions that honor you. Empower me with your Holy Spirit to overcome temptation and to walk in your righteousness. I want to be a light for you in this world and share your love with others. Thank you for your never-ending love. Grace and forgiveness. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
As we get ready for our offering, I would remind you, giving blesses ministry within our congregation and in response to the needs of our community. The communion offering today is going to support the Lydia Patterson Institute. Hopefully everybody got one of these. We've been giving, I know, as a church to the Lydia Patterson Institute for as long as I can remember. Once a year we give, and it's a private faith-based school supported by the United Methodist Church. It's in El Paso, and it includes areas in El Paso and in Juarez, Mexico. Like I said, hopefully everybody got more about it, but those baskets will be up front here when you come up for communion. I give to support the growth of the kingdom of God here on earth, and to enable this particular church to grow and nurture disciples of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Guide us, Lord, as we walk this path of renewal. Open our eyes to the needs around us. Ignite our hearts with compassion and empower our hands to build your kingdom, not with stones and bricks, but with acts of love and service. Bless our gifts, dear God, and use them to spread your message of hope and renewal. May it touch lives, mend hearts, bring about your will in our community and beyond. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Please stand in body or spirit as we sing our song of praise.
So the words of the Great Thanksgiving are different than what you'll find in your hymnal today, so don't even bother looking at it. Fortunately, we have the skill of Susan Flores, who puts our words up on the screen, so hopefully everybody will be at a seat where they can read those words. May God be with you. We come here with all we are, body, mind, and spirit. Let us thank God.
We thank God for wisdom, truth, and life.
Holy God of wisdom and power, you alone are worthy of our worship. At your word, creation came into being and stars danced. Sunlight gleamed on water and earth was filled with growing things. You gave us your commandments to guide us in the ways of justice and righteousness. And when we fail to obey your words, choosing greed and self-interest over compassion and caring, your love remains steadfast. You sent prophets to call us back to you, reminding us that your ways are filled with abundance. Your scripture kept your words before us as generations heard your call. And so with all of creation and the great company of heaven, we praise you as we join in their unending hymn. Holy, 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 God of power and might. Creation and heaven are filled with your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is Jesus who comes in your name. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your child, Jesus Christ. In his life and teaching, he showed us your ways. He welcomed all people, offering forgiveness and a new beginning. He offered healing to aching bodies and spirits. He shared your kingdom where love and righteousness rule. Following your laws, he declared to challenge places of greed and abuse. He sat with his friends at the table sharing a meal, knowing that his time was coming. And he took bread and he lifted it and he blessed it. And he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This bread is my life, and it's a gift for you and for many. Eat this bread and remember me." When the meal was over, Jesus took the cup and he lifted it to you, giving thanks. He offered it to his friends, saying, "Drink from this cup. It represents my love, a sign of the new covenant. It brings forgiveness of sins as it quenches your thirst. Drink from this cup and remember me." And so, in remembrance of Jesus, who offered himself in love for us, we praise you and we give thanks for all that we have received, offering our whole selves to you as we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ was, Christ is, Christ will be. Pour out your spirit upon all of us gathered here and upon this table with the gifts of bread and wine. May they become for us the living Christ, renewing us for your work. And may we become the body of Christ, set forth into the world as the living presence of love incarnate, serving creation with joy. Transform us in the power of your spirit and unite us with Jesus that we might continue his ministry in peace and reconciliation. Through your child, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, holy God, now and forevermore. Amen. And now let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples as we say these words together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are truly one body. For when we all partake in this one loaf, is it not a means in sharing in the body of Christ? And when we give thanks over this cup, is it not a means in sharing in the blood of Christ? The body of Christ given for all, the blood of Christ shed for all. I'm going to ask those who are helping to serve Holy Communion if they'll come forward at this time that we might prepare the table. We serve by means of a little piece of bread which will be handed to you as the body of Christ. Some people will say thanks be to God or amen, whatever you feel called to say. And then we'll offer you the little cup of juice as the blood of Christ. Again, the response that you make is authentic to you. So respond any way that you feel so led to respond. We'll have two stations here in the middle, and we'll have a gluten-free station. So if you are gluten-free, be aware that you can come over here to Susan, and she'll give you gluten-free elements. I think the table's been set. Jesus made the way clear for us to be part of his meal. So with the usher's help, please come forward. We do have a prayer after receiving that should show up on the screen any moment. Let's pray together, please. God of eternal love and life, We thank you for your gift given to us in Jesus Christ. Keep us so filled with the strength of your Spirit that we may go into the world, giving ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Before we leave every week, and Melanie, I don't know if you started this or if we started it, we say our mission statement every week after, as we're leaving here, to remind us of what people who are filled with the Holy Spirit do. People who have a clean temple and a beautiful heart like you. I just see the light of Christ coming off you. I'm just so blessed to be here and witness this in you. So I'm going to send you forth as we say together what our mission is to do in the world. Will you join me? The mission of Lotus Hills United Methodist Church is to grow and nurture disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our community and of the world. For all of you who made it a priority to come today to be transformed into the very image of Jesus Christ, go forth into the world sharing this with others who so desperately need you. Now, if you see me disappear, today is conversation and coffee with the pastor in the fellowship hall. So I'm going to go over there. I want you to come and join me where we just sit around and talk about whatever you want to talk about. So I'll see you over in the fellowship hall and go forth with this benediction. May the God of peace and power and grace surround and uplift you as we walk with Christ to the cross. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go forth in peace.